I get set up here, I told Bible class this morning, I said, I ain't used to standing up. I be sitting down doing Sunday school, so I had the energy for my lesson, you know. So Brian Bell, he felt sorry for me. He bought me a chair. So if you see me sit down, don't take that as a sign of disrespect. But if I sit down, I'm going to go longer. It's a privilege to be here with you this morning. It's an honor, and it's good when you can come home. And I say come home because, and many of you don't know, but I was worshiping here, my family and I, and we left to go help out the congregation in Petersburg. We left to go help the congregation in Petersburg, and look like both of us need help now. Amen. Amen. Because not many more people here this morning that would be there if I were there this morning. So believe me, they're not following me. Our lesson this morning, it's entitled "Watch Out, Watch Out." Now, there's a study guide on the table outside. Did you get one? If you didn't, tie rod and make sure you get one. It's a paper, and it'll give you every text I'm gonna reference, or West or somebody. You can pass them out. It was on the table. In other words, I give the study guide, so you know we all on the same page. I go a little faster because you can see what text we're gonna go to next. So all this technology, you know, we didn't have that. I think Dale asked me, "Do you have your slide presentation?" I said, "Yep, slide the paper right on across your desk." Okay, watching. And I'll give a moment for them to pass it out. If you see me drinking water, I'm going to go longer. All right, one person, go ahead. And everybody else saying, be quiet. All right, that's right. That's how come I didn't go up there, because I know the fall in that trapdoor is Father. All right, back in Bible times, it was customary to have a watchtower with the vineyard. The watchman also played a prominent role in times of war. You know, you have scouts that would go out to scout out the enemy, scout out the territory, so you can see what you're faced with. Today, we are aware of the importance of what it means to watch. In many of our neighborhoods, we have neighborhood watch groups. We have satellites in the skies above us to watch out for our enemies. Big Brother is watching us right now. There are guards at our borders to watch for people that might try to enter the country illegally. We have alarm systems in our homes and video monitoring systems to watch for thieves who might break in. It's so funny when a crime happens in the neighborhood and the police don't know who did it. All they do is go back to the residence and say, "Hey, can you look at your door cam and see who that is?" And you know, they're catching people just like that. I'd be watching news and I see something, I say, "Yep, they're going to jail," because they're going to be identified. But let's look at what it means to watch. The word "watch," as it is commonly used in the New Testament, is directed to Christians. It means to be alert, to give attention to be busy, to be active. It means to be careful, to be on guard. It means to not be found sleeping. Paul told Timothy to watch, and that suggests that we have enemies and we must watch out unless they come upon us and destroy us. You got to be vigilant. You got to ever be watching. You got to be watching. We should keep in mind that there are others who are also watching us. God is watching us. The enemy is watching us. The church is watching us. Our friends are watching us. And our family is watching us. You know, there's some things that I remember my wife, it was a circumstance that happened in the family. And my wife told her sister said, "You ain't got to do this, you ain't got to do that." And my wife said, "Yes, I do, because I got little eyes watching me to see how I'm going to respond." So it's always somebody watching. We as Christians must also be watching. We must watch out for the enemy. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 from New American Standard Version, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, not your friend, your adversary, the devil, he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And see, we were looking for a man in a red suit, you know, with a pitchfork. But sometimes the devil might be the person that's in the mirror. It might be the man. Michael Jackson said, let's start with the man in the mirror. You know, I'm telling you to change your ways. That's right. Sometimes, now, some of us, when we look in the mirror, we only see the devil because the devil is behind us. Amen? Amen. That's right. And that's what we do. We tell him, we say, get thee behind me, Satan. Get behind me. Leave me alone. Okay? We must watch ourselves. We got to watch our thoughts. Many of us as Christians are not as strong as we should be in our thinking. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. We referenced 6 and 7 this morning, talking about how we need to don't worry about anything. We need to pray for everything and be thankful for anything. And verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and there's anything praiseworthy, meditate. Think on these things. I told the class this morning that my hashtag is positive vibes only. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Where does sin begin? Sin begins in your heart. It's the heart of man that becomes defiled and results in sin. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. That's a gift. You get payment for your sin, but you're going to get paid with a gift of eternal life if you walk according to God's will. We need to watch our speech. We shouldn't talk just like the world. Everything that the world says, you can't be saying it. You can't do everything. You can't talk like the world talk all the time. We need to watch our appearance. Now, I know some of that'd be hard for some of you because you can't look as good as I do. You got to watch your appearance. I told Wesley, I said, man, you ain't tell me what's dressed down Sunday. He said, every Sunday is dressed down Sunday. I said, I want you to know the only reason I got on a bow tie and a suit is because I came here. Okay? I got a port in my chest, you know, from a chemo, and it has a little plastic tube. What, Christina? Chris, you know what I'm talking about? It comes up here. You can feel in my neck right there. It goes to the carotid artery or something like that. Anyway. Oh, go to the jugular. See, I said carotid artery. Well, she took correctly. It goes to the jugular vein. But in other words, I can feel the plastic right there. And this shirt right here, see, this shirt I got on is too big, really. You see, going through all of that. It's too big, really. You see the neck on it? But I can wear it because I can't have nothing tight around my neck. Because I don't want to cut off my jugular vein. How about that? All right? Okay. Good. I like that one now. That's right. So I usually don't have one. I didn't start wearing it. I'm going to tell you perfectly honest. Mildred, I put on a tie for Linwood Homegoing Service because so that would be appropriate. Because I don't wear no tie. You can come to to Petersburg. I ain't got no tie on. And know what? The brothers love it. They like when I be dressed down. They wait till I get out of the car and see what I got on. And they be pulling their coats off, pulling their ties off. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. So we got to watch our appearance. We got to watch our actions, what we're doing. We must watch our associates. You know, you got to be careful who you hang with. Because my mama used to say, you class with the company that you keep. Okay. James 4:4 says, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? In other words, if you're this tight with the world, you're an enemy of God. So you got to watch who you hang with. You got to watch who you be with. We as Christians, we must be looking for the Lord's return. Mark chapter 13, verse 35 through 37. Mark 13, 35 through 37. I think I might get through this, Brian, without even using this a chair. But if I sit down, y'all better watch out. Okay. Mark 13, 35 through 37. The Bible says, watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowning of the rooster, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly, he finds you sleeping. And what I say to you all is to watch. How serious are we watching? We should watch day and night. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." We ought to watch and pray. Jesus said in Mark 13:33, "Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is." Let's see what else the Bible says about watching. Jesus told the apostles in Matthew 26, verse 38 through 41. Matthew 26, 38 through 41. He said, Jesus said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and he found them sleeping. He said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." I believe what Jesus is trying to show here to the apostles, that it's very important that they watch and that they keep an eye out. Jesus is trying to keep his disciples focused on his coming. We as Christians are Christ's disciples also, and we need to watch and be ready for when he comes. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42 through 44. Jesus said, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." Verse 43 says, "But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect." We need to be watching out. They thought that they had enough time. They thought they had enough time. They need to have been watching out. And if I get my pages in order, I won't be skipping around like that. I was on 5. I need to be on 4. Okay. Slide number 4. We see the master of the house did not know when the thief was coming, so he attempted to stay ready. In our own homes, we lock our doors. Who locked their door when they left home? Okay. Who locked their door when they left home and somebody was there? Right. Because you know what? What Tyrod was saying was, if you come up in here, you got to kick the door down. You had to kick the door down. In other words, you lock the door so nobody just walk up in there. See, it used to be a time, Charlotte, when we was around there on Commerce Street, we could leave the door unlocked. You know what? You could watch TV out on the porch. You ain't had to worry about it. Now you set the TV. Come on now. On Jones Street, too. You know what? Now you leave. Had a TV outside and be trying to watch it. Somebody will steal it while you're looking at it. They will steal it while you're looking at it. Okay? You got to watch out. They steal your clothes off the clothesline. A wife said, "Baby, why we ain't got no clothesline?" I said, "So we can keep our clothes?" Okay. All right. So we don't know when Christ is coming. We don't know when Christ is coming. So we should watch and pray. And we should be ready. We have a good lesson in Matthew chapter 25, verse 13. Matthew chapter 25, the first 13 verses. It's a parable of the wise and foolish virgins. The Bible says, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming.'" We need to watch out. So this lesson about the 10 virgins teaches us about watching. So the kingdom of heaven, being likened to 10 virgins, took their lamps, they went forth to meet the bridegroom. The word virgin here is used to identify the purity of us as Christians, okay? In the parable, the bridegroom represents Jesus. The feast represents the reward which he has prepared for the faithful. 5 of the 10 virgins were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. The wise made preparations to meet the Lord. Those who did not make preparations to meet the Lord, they were deemed as the 5 foolish. So 5 wise and 5 foolish. The wise made preparation to meet the Lord. Those who did not make preparation to meet the Lord, they were the foolish. All it takes for us today to be lost is to be foolish and to fail to make preparations to meet the Lord. We've seen the song, careless soul, why do you wander from the throne of God? Hear you not the invitation, oh, prepare to meet thy God. We need to be prepared. We need to be like Freddie and stay ready. You need to be like Fred and stay ready, because you don't know. You don't know the day or the hour in which the Lord will come. And so I was telling the class this morning, I have more of a realization of it because of my illness. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It does not matter at all. Okay? So the foolish, they that were foolish, they took their lamps, but they took no oil with them. The Jewish lamp was a shallow clay vessel filled with oil, and the wick floated on top of the oil. The foolish virgins, they had no extra oil with them. The Bible says in verse 5 that while the bridegroom was delayed, or while the bridegroom was a long time in coming, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. They became drowsy and fell asleep. They thought that they had enough time. Verse 6 says that at midnight the cry was heard, "Behold! The bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." In the hour of slumber and silence, when no one was expecting it, the bridegroom came. This shows that the second coming of Christ will be sudden and unexpected. Matthew 24:27 says, "For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so will also be the coming of the Son of Man." Most of us this morning are afraid of lightning. We were at the daycare the other day waiting for Jewel to get off work. Yep, she got a job. And it was almost like somebody took a picture. That's how close the lightning flash was. It was a flash, and then it was boom, 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 boom. You know, it was just horrific. I remember one time, I'm going off the script now. One time we were at Camp Idlewild. I don't know if anybody here was there then. We were at Camp Idlewild, and, you know, we were all gathered in the main house, singing and all that. And you know what? Everybody was singing. They didn't have their heart into it. And it was a thunderstorm. That's how come we had all come inside. Everybody had it. They didn't have their heart into it. Now, you familiar with Camp Attaway? It's a lot of trees. And this at the main house, the trees were laying on the roof of the building, on the side of the building. Okay. And there was a Pepsi-Cola clock. Chris Pine, you'll be able to relate to this. There was a Pepsi-Cola clock on the wall. And Robbie Hodgson, he was leaning on the table. He was leaning on the table, and the lightning. And you know, they were saying they weren't saying they was. You know, they wasn't really singing out. All of a sudden, bloom, boom, 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 like that. Listen, the clock exploded. The flash of lightning came right in the building. He had on white Nike leather tennis shoes, and they were brown scorched. They were scorched burnt. From if he hadn't had rubber soles, he wouldn't be here talking to us right now. He wouldn't be there. The lightning struck. Now, guess what? After that, everybody sung good. Everybody put their heart into the songs from that point on. And that, I mean, that's a true story. Audrey was right there. Audrey was a true story. The lightning struck. It exploded the clock. And then a flash came right across. And if he hadn't had on those rubber shoes, am I right, Chris? He'd have been gone. He'd have been gone. The rubber, you know, that was the only thing that grounded him, you know, kept him grounded. So what's the story here? Sing out when it's time to sing tonight, but also keep the limbs off of the house too. Okay. So we're afraid of lightning. The flashes are so sudden and unexpected. The old folks used to make us turn everything off, turn the TV off, cover up the mirrors, Don't talk. Don't move. Get up under the table. Jesus' return is going to be very sudden and unexpected, just like a lightning flash. Verse 8 of the text in Matthew says, "And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.'" Now let us look at this on the spiritual side. It's evident that these lamps were once lit and shined brightly, but they were not prepared. They lost their focus. They were lazy. They were nonchalant. Our lamps may become cold and indifferent if you don't watch and make the necessary preparations. We should never let our lamps lights go out. And some people's lamps have gone dim. You don't look around, you don't see them. You remember when there were a lot more people here? Remember when you had to sit in the back? Remember that? Wow. So it's a lamp. We need to take some oil to some people. We need to take some oil to some people. We need to call them and encourage them. Verse 9 says, "But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' The wise and the foolish have been companions in the work of the Lord. Each individual has a responsibility to provide for himself." You remember when all of these pews were full. All these pews were full, but we all got a responsibility to provide for ourselves. But we also have a responsibility to encourage one another all the more as we see the day approaching. Hebrews 10, 24, 25, 26. And see, some of us have gotten to the habit of not meeting together. So we used to get beat on the head with Hebrews 10, 25. "Forsaking assembly yourselves together as a man of some is." But look, it's the verses before that. We meet to stir up love. We meet to stir up love with one another. In other words, I'm encouraged by you. You're encouraged by me. When you leave here, you should feel different than you did when you came in. It might be because your toes hurting, because the minister said something to hurt you, or it should, if he said something that might have motivated you. In other words, you should leave encouraged. We enter the worship and we leave to serve. You should leave here with the motivation to tell somebody. And you can take that sheet and you can preach the lesson right back to them. Right from that piece of paper. Okay. The foolish version, they thought they had enough time, but they didn't. So each of us has responsibility to be prepared for ourselves. We as parents have the responsibility to see that our children grow spiritually in the Lord's church. Verse 10 says that while they went to buy oil, the bridegroom came. They left. They had to go to the store to go get some oil, but while they were gone, that's when the bridegroom came. At this point, it was too late to make preparation to meet the Lord. Each person should obey the gospel when they understand what they must do. Some may say, "Well, I'm going to obey the gospel when I'm older. I'm going to do it tomorrow." But the question is, will you live to get older? You said tomorrow. Your tomorrow might very well be today. Your tomorrow might be too late. There's a song, you Google it. Don't do it right now. But you YouTube it. The Winans sing tomorrow. And do the one with the lyrics. Tomorrow lyrics, Winans. I'll send you the link. But it's a beautiful song. It's a beautiful song. You say tomorrow, I'm going to do it. Tomorrow. Jesus called on you today. Now and today are the words of the Bible. Now and today. But you know what you say? I'm going to do it tomorrow. Your tomorrow might be exactly too late. It might be too late. The bridegroom came when they went to get oil. The question is, will you live to get older? The Bible says that today is the day of salvation, and now is the accepted time. Verse 11, the Bible says, "Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open the door to us.' The foolish virgins came looking for mercy when it was time for judgment. At judgment time, the door would be closed and we would have no opportunity to prepare to meet the Lord. As persons entitled to enter herein, whatever claims that they had, they had been forfeited." You see, their lamps had gone dim. Jesus said in verse 13 to watch. "Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Lord shall come." The whole lesson here is that we do not know when the Lord is coming. And therefore, we ought to be ready. The Bible says in Luke 12, 37, "Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will he find watching." Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Verse 8 shows us that in contrast to what the unbelievers do, the Christian should be sober, living a disciplined life, not only free from drunkenness, but alert to spiritual realities. The believers should put on the breastplate of faith. Christians are represented as being wide awake, while sinners are represented as being asleep. Those who do not watch will suffer the consequences. Are you watching out this morning? Are you really watching, or are you watching the Jesse Smollett drama? Are you watching the Bruce Jenner drama? Are you watching the Red Line? Are you watching the Have Nots? Are you watching Scandal or the Baby Mama drama? Are you watching your weight? Watching means to be awake and to be aware of your surroundings. A watchful person rejects the wisdom of the world. He knows that it is foolishness. The watchful person is spiritually alert. A watching person knows from the Word of God that this world will one day pass away. A watchful person knows it is foolish to trust in this world and its intoxicating attractions. He remembers Lot's wife, what happened to her, and he embraces the truth of what Jesus said when he asked, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? The watching person realizes that he or she can die at any moment. That's a reality. The watching person knows that. The secret of victory over sin and the devil is to watch and pray. I'm watching and waiting on Jesus this morning. He's sweeter than a honeycomb. He's more precious than silver and gold. Jesus is the first, the last, my everything. This morning, you're here. Have you heard the word of God? Are you willing to believe what you've heard, repent of your past sins, and to confess Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior? And in Mark 16:15-16, be baptized in a watery grave of baptism. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. We got to live faithfully. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, the last part of the verse, Jesus said, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Don't let anybody steal your crown. Be watchful. Watch out, because the hour is coming when work while it's day, because the hour is coming, night is coming when no man can work. If you're here this morning, if we can pray for you, if there's anything we can do for you, make it known as we stand and sing.